Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, January 10th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Pets and Vets today. Joining us in the studio, Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. If you have a question about your dog or cat, or whatever, pet, you can give it a shot. Dogs and cats mainly. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Dr. Ciculli and Dr. Dallas, your questions are coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls, Dr. Susan Ciculli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Dr. Ciculli is a graduate of the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine. She's a member of the American Association of Feline Practitioners and the American Veterinary Medicine Association. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, and nutrition counseling. Dr. Ciculli, Dr. Dallas, welcome back to the show. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
So great to have you back on the show. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 if you have a question about your pet. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Quick mention about the emails. Make them as detailed as you can, but try to be as concise as you can. So 4 or 5 paragraphs can be a bit much. Paragraph or two, all the pertinent information about your pet works out pretty well. And the email address, once again, is voxpop@wamc.org. And our number is 800-348-2551. You wanted to talk about essential oils today. Another thing I know nothing about. So let's start there.
I did. I wanted to mention that many people think that essential oils, and if you read on internet, that they are toxic to cats. And I want to clarify that, yes, there are some that are, but there are many that are not. And I use them in my practice. I know Dr. Dallas does also. And I think it's important, as people are using them more for themselves, to recognize that it's safe for the animals that they have in their house to also be around them.
And so there are certain bad ones, however.
There are. And I really would rather not list the certain ones.
Okay. Well, what are the good ones?
The good ones that I use, lavender is a great one. We'll use...
We're talking about frankincense.
Frankincense, exactly.
Frankincense. You don't hear that very often.
Yes.
Christmas time,
that's
about all I hear.
Exactly.
Great for cancer.
Is it expensive?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Certain ones are more expensive than others. Again, in moderation. I think the reason the cats have gotten a bad rap is they probably were applied the essential oils onto the cat in full strength, and you need to dilute it out for them.
Okay. So there is some science and some practice behind this. And
perfectly said, yes, exactly.
Enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551 if you have a question. And it looks like we have some phone calls, however. So just take one. We'll spin the wheel and hope for the best. Dave in Albany. Dave, you're first.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, I have a 11-year-old Rottweiler, and he was diagnosed with cancer in his front leg in May 2017. They put him on 3 medications. He was limping. Anyway, he's like a puppy now. Is it possible the cancer has gone away, or do you think this? The doctor said he probably had 3 months to live, and he's been.
It depends on how aggressive the cancer is. I assume, did they call it an osteosarcoma?
I'm not sure, but they gave me the option of having his leg removed, and he said it would go through his body. So he said the only thing we could do is make him comfortable, which I said, whatever we need. And they gave me, he's still taking these 2 small white pills and this orange pill. I forget what it is. I don't even know what it is. But anyway.
Well, it's possible that cancer is still growing in his bone. You know, it can remain pretty quiet until you get unfortunately, a pathologic fracture. And we call it a pathologic fracture because it's not that the bone just breaks because of trauma.
Right.
It breaks because it's not a normal bone. So, you know, I feel like you're doing the right thing and just keeping him happy and comfortable and just enjoy every day and just hope that that bone just kind of holds together as long as possible.
Right. I don't let him jump or anything like that. And
yeah.
I take him for really small walks. But the funny thing is when I brought him, he was limping and blah, blah, wasn't feeling. But now, after all these months, he's still, he's like a puppy.
That's interesting. Yeah. And you could run another x-ray just to see what it looks like these days, you know.
I was going to ask that because my wife said we should take him off these pills because he's not showing any signs of it. And so we should go have it x-rayed again and see.
Yeah.
But,
and he may not be showing signs of it because of the pills, so then you don't necessarily want to take him away.
Take him off.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, thanks for taking my call.
All right. Take care. Good luck.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. On this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop, we're joined today by Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas. And let's go over to Bob in Springfield. Bob, you're on.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
I've got a 4-month-old French Bulldog puppy.
Oh, yeah?
Who, when going outside, likes to eat poop.
Oh, terrific.
Is it his own poop or somebody else's poop?
His brother's poop. His brother is a 12-and-a-half-year-old Boston. And he seems to seek it out in the snow, find it, and give me that
a very common
look on his face.
It's like a little Tootsie Roll.
Okay.
That's all right. Special treat.
Maybe for you.
Yeah, no, believe me, I've been through this, so I feel your pain.
Yes.
Well, you know, unfortunately, there aren't a ton of options here. What you can do is, I would clean poop up as soon as it happens, for now, until he breaks the habit. There is a product called Forbid. Do you know if that's still in the market?
Right.
It used to be around, and you would feed the older dog Forbid with his food, and it's supposed to make the stool taste pretty horrible, apparently more horrible than it should normally taste. And I've also known some people have put hot pepper sauce on there to trap them and trick them into creating like an aversion.
But not feed the dog hot pepper sauce.
No, you don't feed the dog hot pepper sauce.
Yeah. Just
put it on the poop. That's a tough one. Yeah.
But it is something we commonly hear. I think puppies are much more prone to doing that. Mm-hmm. They're just curious and think that's an okay thing.
You want
thing.
To follow up, Bob?
He seems to be gaining. He's not doing it out of hunger, I'm sure. Or is he?
No.
No. I don't think anybody really knows why they do it, honestly.
All right.
Well,
good luck, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
He should outgrow it.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's the boss.
Don't let him kiss you.
Truly, truly appalling. Let's go to Lisa in Montgomery. Lisa, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I captured a feral cat about 2 years ago because she kept having kittens, and I was able to catch them. Most of them would die. And she wouldn't come around till they're about like 3-4 months old. So they were pretty feral. The ones that lived, of course, I got homes for. But it took me a lot to capture her. She was very smart. She wouldn't go into the regular trap. I had to buy a special trap that kind of just tilts up and then you pull on it with a string once she goes under.
It's called
so
a
I
drop
finally
trap.
Caught her. I fixed her. I gave her the shots that I could give her, and then I returned her back outside. Since then, she comes every day for food. Now she's up to coming three or four times a day for food, and she'll sit right in front of my back sliding door and stare inside at my other cat. So she'll come and I'll give her food. She won't even eat it. She'll come back to the back door and just stare inside. I'm tempted to try and trap her again and give her a home, give her home within my home. What do you think the chances of her becoming more friendly? Because it seems like she's gotten more friendly over time and comes closer. Well, obviously, she comes to the back door, and when I open the back door, she only moves away maybe about 4 feet. What do you think the chances? Do you think I should just leave her out there? She's about 3 years old. I don't know where she gets shelter, but she obviously gets shelter somewhere because she survived these freezing cold temperatures.
Yeah.
I'm looking for advice.
Yeah, I would That's a tough call. She has passed the limit where she's definitely able to be integrated successfully with humans. So she is truly a feral cat. There are definitely stories where you can see them be tamer, but she will always have the tendency to want to be feral. And she'll be okay with you, but probably not with many other people. And so we see that, you know, there are clients that will do that, but just, I think if you approach it in the right expectations and to recognize she may be more comfortable outside because that is her territory and space. So, you know, I'd allow her to come in rather than trap her and force her in. You know, it just seems like
I have two dogs, and they even look at her and bark at her, and she just sits there. She doesn't care. I guess she knows she can flee, when she's outside, so it's not a non-issue for her.
Yeah.
I don't know if she would come in with the dogs. I just am concerned if I move here in 3 or 4 years, I don't want to, just leave her out there to fend for herself, even though she sits by the bird feeder, and I know bird people probably hate me, but she probably kills some of those birds. I don't know. that's my only concern.
Yeah, do me a favor, Lisa. Don't call in when Rich Guthrie's on doing the bird show.
I know. I was just thinking that. I was
that
like, I shouldn't
true.
Have said that. I mean, I haven't literally seen her kill a bird, but she was the other day, like, right underneath, and they jump down, and they get their food, so I don't know.
She's not your cat, Lisa, ultimately, so Guthrie can't yell at you.
Okay, good.
All right, doctors, anything before we take a break?
No, just thank you for taking care of her and getting her spayed. That was great.
Good points.
It was an awful situation. Right. Most of her kittens were so sick. It was just, we tried to save them, hook them up to IVs. It was awful.
You did the right thing.
All right, Lisa, we got to take a break here. Thank you for calling. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today, Susan Ciculli and Chris Dallas with us, and your calls. More of them coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Curtis Lumber, announcing their new kitchen showrooms featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Murillat and quartz countertops from Cambria. CurtisLumber.com. Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. Culligan Water of the Northeast, for over 80 years, providing pure drinking water as well as options for problem water at home and at work. CulliganNortheast.com. And Mass Match, for over 16 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you on a Wednesday, and not too cold considering how things have been. Our guests today, Susan Ciculli and Chris Dallas. It's Pets and Vets. This one came in via email and then back to the phones. This one's from Christina, who writes, our 15-and-a-half-year-old Cocker Spaniel is vibrant and energetic. Suddenly, during this extreme cold snap, she's developed a patch of thinning fur between her hip joints. Could it be caused by the cold, by some special dog treats that she had at Christmas, like freeze-dried chicken breasts or some other stress? Is there anything I can do to get the fur to grow back? 15-and-a-half-year-old Cocker Spaniel.
I'm stumped. That's an interesting question. You know, that's interesting because that's the area where we often see flea allergy dermatitis.
Between the hip joints?
So, if they've got, if you have cats in the house or just leftover fleas from the season, that would be the only thing I could think of, especially if the skin is itching. But I can't otherwise explain that. I mean, it's not really the distribution for like a endocrine disease like hypothyroidism. That's usually along the flanks. So the only thing I could think of with that distribution would be a flea.
And some people will stop their flea treatment during the wintertime, assuming that they don't have fleas in the house, and she may still
have them. Yeah.
This one came in from Anne, who writes, a family member just got a dog neutered. Another relative never neuters or male dogs, feeling it affects their health. My cousin told me that dogs in the UK have on average longer lifespans because UK pet owners don't, as a rule, neuter their pets. And that's from Anne. True, not true?
The science is still out.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is being looked at. There were a couple of studies that came out of California on golden retrievers, and it was a small study. It didn't have a lot of statistical power, but they potentially showed a reduced incidence of cancer and a reduced incidence of some orthopedic abnormalities with delayed spaying and neutering. They were not intact. I heard a lecture about this particular study, and the person who lectured on it did not put a lot of stock into it. So I think it's a question that we are still very much answering. Do you feel the same thing?
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. And back to the phones we will go. Let's go to Billy in Pittsfield. Billy, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my wife and I have an 11-year-old Norwegian Alkhound, and he has pemphigus, which he's had for a few years now. And we've tried steroids in the past, but to be honest, the negative effects from the steroids seem to outweigh any relief it gave him. I mean, it seemed to make him super anxious, and he couldn't relax. It was just horrible. So we stopped that, and the pemphigus comes in and out of severity. But basically, we're wondering if there's anything a little bit more natural we can try to alleviate the symptoms without resorting to the steroids.
Before we start, tell us briefly what pemphigus is. Not sure, you,
I
Billy.
No,
I meant,
well,
okay. I meant the doctors. And they can jump in whenever they want.
Do you want to answer?
Go ahead. You can answer.
So pemphigus is an autoimmune condition of the skin.
All right.
Yep. So short answer.
And it's usually around the eyes and the mucous membrane.
Okay.
So it presents as crustiness. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Typically.
Exactly. And then, so Billy's question was about a more holistic approach.
I would definitely consider that.
I agree.
Yes. I actually manage a lot of autoimmune conditions with Chinese herbs. I don't know much about essential oils in that case.
I use essential oils.
You
on
do?
My
okay.
Cats.
Yep.
All right. What essential oil and what Chinese herb specifically?
Well, Chinese herbs are tough because you don't. You can have three patients with the same problem and prescribe them all different herbs depending on their constitution, because we don't treat problems, we treat patterns. So if you have an anxious dog who tends to have dry skin and has pemphigus, you might treat them differently than a crazy, high-energy dog who's got a lot of heat.
Yeah.
So so it's very patient-specific, but I think it's a really, really great option for your dog, and you definitely would want to go to a Chinese practitioner or holistic vet in your area.
And the essential oils that
would these be topical, or would these be something he should ingest, or both?
That would be ingested, and then...
Yeah, the essential oils that I have used on autoimmune problems in cats have been the lavenders, the copaiba, which is a natural anti-inflammatory, similar to prednisolone, but much less side effects with it.
And you think that there could be success?
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Diet, too. Go to
yes.
the raw diet. You're looking to change nutrition.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, what is the scientific background on the success and the reasons for the success for, say, essential oils?
So essential oils are natural ingredients. They're natural grains. We use everything from thyme to cinnamon to lemon. So they're natural for us.
But have there been studies saying, okay, this works?
Not so much on essential oils.
Not as much.
What about the Chinese medicine, the Chinese herbs?
No, the Chinese medicine, what they have going for them is about 2,000-year history of anecdote. But and it's really, a lot of things come and go in medicine. And things that tend to persist usually persist because they have a good work, they do well. But it's really tough. And it's hard to, they've tried to prove efficacy for a lot of these things. And what's challenging about Chinese medicine, because we don't treat the problem specifically, we treat the patient.
Right.
It's really hard to compare. You can't have a control group with the same problem.
Right. And this is
and
an
you treat
East
them all
versus
different.
West issue.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's very hard. Yeah.
Controversial
acupuncture
discussion.
Is the same way.
Yes.
Yes.
And yet, with an animal, theoretically, you don't have a placebo effect in play.
No placebo, but there's so much crossover in the nervous system that, what drives scientists crazy about acupuncture is they find that people use a lot of the same points for different problems. Mm. And vice versa, you may have the same problem but use different points. And it's the way that we think about our patient that makes it really hard to
study. And I'll
study.
Interject on the placebo portion. Mm. They talked about a study they did, Cosequin, glucosamine is being used a lot for arthritis. Mm-hmm. So in cats, they were giving the Cosequin, and it was the client's perception or the owner's perception that it improved.
Yeah.
They stopped the Cosequin. The clinical signs were exactly the same.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So when we want to know whether it's working or not, we have them give it for a month, say, okay, have them stop it, and if they see a change, then we know it is the medication, not the placebo effect.
It's nice if you have a measurable outcome instead of a subjective outcome, too.
Well, let's go back to the phones.
Good discussion. Thank you.
Maria in Olive Bridge is on. Maria, you're here.
Hi. I have a 9.5-year-old Siberian Husky female. She has not been spayed, and she is generally in very good health. She's fit, et cetera. But about a little more than a month ago, she was on cefpodoxamine, and she had just finished the round of it. And then we tested her stool sample, and she showed signs of C. diff. So my question is about, and my dad is addressing this, where we're going to do more stool tests when and if she has diarrhea, which she hasn't had. And so I'm wondering what your experience has been with C. diff. It's an expensive test, and from what I understand, dogs can have it without showing any symptoms. So I'm just wondering what your experience has been in your practices.
Yeah, so...
And what happens.
Sure. So it's interesting that she doesn't have any clinical signs, and there are certain clostridial organisms that are considered a natural part of a dog's microbiome or microbiology in their stool. So I'm wondering, are they actually seeing C. diff or C. Clostridium perfringens, which is a different
species.
Oh,
can you spell that?
Yeah, perfringens.
I'd like to bring that up with my vet.
Yep, sure. It's P-E-R-F-R-I-N-G-E-N-S, perfringens.
Can you use it in a sentence?
So that would be...
G-E-N-F-F?
S is in Sam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
that's a normal thing that might be misinterpreted as C. diff?
Possibly. And So, and there you can see clostridial overgrowth, even of the normal clostridium that they have in their gut. And usually a course of metronidazole takes care of that version of it. So there's still a lot, I think, that needs to be looked at here. I don't think we have enough, information to know what's going on with your dog, but I would certainly consider getting a good, strong probiotic at this point, and definitely take a look at your diet, because if we're getting a lot of carbohydrates and just things that aren't really natural for her gut, that could potentially perpetuate the problem.
She is on Fortiflora every day, and I'm apprehensive about them.
That doesn't sound too good.
I'm apprehensive about giving her the metronidazole because it's a carcinogen. And I know they give it to women, too. But,
yeah, and I don't think you need to jump there if she's not, if she doesn't have clinical signs right now. And you might consider, the Fortiflora only has one organism in it. You might want to consider a more broad spectrum. Your vet may have a product called ProViable, ProViable. And that may just help balance out the bacteria a little bit.
Maria, thanks a lot. We have to move it along here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Chris Dallas is here, and Dr. Susan Ciculli, and you at 800-348-2551. Barbara in Grafton, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I'm a big fan of the program.
Well, thank you.
I have two Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. One just turned 2 and the other is 5 years old.
Okay.
And as the veterinarians probably know, the breed is prone to many, many problems. and I've been feeding my dogs a dehydrated food. Can I mention the brand name?
I suppose.
It's The Honest Kitchen. Okay. And I'm feeding a grain-free turkey diet right now, and I add bone broth and with turmeric. Okay.
All right.
And am I doing right by these dogs? I'm considering trying to switch over to a raw diet and preparing their food at home. I give them fruits and vegetables as toppers with the food they're getting now. Is raw food like a fad, or
the best?
Am I okay with what I'm feeding now?
Raw food is the best you could offer them. I think you are going in absolutely the right direction.
Why?
Because that is the most natural, like us, when we're not supposed to have processed food. Raw diet provides so much nutritionally that you can't get, even from the freeze-dried.
All right. Now, I will say that there are vets on this program
absolutely.
Who would disagree with
definitely.
You.
Definitely. There's a lot of opinions about this.
There are.
Why would someone disagree with you?
Because of not knowing where they're getting those raw diets from.
Okay. It can be done poorly.
Okay.
For
yes.
sure.
So how do you
there
do it right?
Risks.
Well, there have been some game changers recently. In the last year, we have two companies that are making prepared raw diets that you just defrost and serve. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it takes a lot of the intrigue and mystery out of how to balance your calcium with your phosphorus and how many vegetables to give and what mm-hmm. types. You know, you can go to one of the locally owned pet stores, and they do carry those, and the price has come down remarkably also, although you have Cavaliers, so you don't have to think as much about that. But
what, Cavaliers are little dogs?
They're smaller, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're a giant breed or anything. So,
well, right now I'm spending $200 for food every 6 weeks. And luckily I did find a local source of organic organ meats from cows and chickens.
If you just find, if you can find one of these prepared mm-hmm. foods, the raw, the organs are already in there. There's the right ratio of bone, and you really don't have to put a lot of thought into it. If you do want to do it yourself, I would find a veterinarian who is savvy about this and can guide you on it, because it can be done poorly and can create problems.
Yes. Good point.
Okay. I have another follow-up quick question.
Okay.
My one Cavalier turned 5 years old recently. And I did not get a full blood work profile done on him. Am I doing him a disservice? Because we all know that with Cavaliers, 5 seems to be the magical age when MVD starts to show up.
What's MVD?
Mitral valve dysplasia.
Mitral okay. valve disease.
Okay. Which is not going to show up on blood work anyways. Right. I think your physical exam is a lot more important.
I agree.
Blood work at mm-hmm. this point is, you know, I think you could get away with every other year, every third year.
It's helpful as mm-hmm. the younger dog, but mm-hmm. much more needed as they get older that you're watching the kidneys.
All right, Barbara, yep. thanks for the call. Now, why is it that certain breeds have certain issues? Is this an inbreeding thing over years and years? Does a mongrel do much better?
Huh,
generally,
that's a really good question.
Generally, but not always.
Maybe
but.
For the physical abnormalities, but then sometimes you deal with the behavioral issues
right.
and
yeah.
not knowing
right.
the temperaments. So
yeah.
it's a balance between the two.
Health-wise, right. people often ask me, what is the best. Most healthy dog? Yeah. What's the breed I should get? And I tell people, get a 45-pound brown dog.
know,
although temperament is a wild card.
Right. right. But yeah. is temperament learned? Like, if you have a puppy, will the temperament be learned? If you're an awful person, will that dog
it
also be an awful person?
Goes back to that nature versus nurture part. How much
yeah.
of it's in the genes? How much
it's both.
It's in,
yeah.
it's I
both.
Think it's both. Yeah.
yeah.
That's
some
why
dogs
our
are just
pet
born.
Is so lovely. Such a lovely
exactly.
person.
She's
lovely
got such a great role model.
That's
though.
Right. Exactly. she never yells. Jim and Adams Mass. Jim, you're on.
Hang on just a second.
Okay. We got time. TikTok.
Yeah. I just was. Speakerphone.
There you go.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I have a 7-year.
Hello.
Oh. No.
Way that I inherited from my daughter-in-law. She used to be an outdoor cat. Shortly after we got her, she started developing these basically dreadlocks on her back, just on her back, just really, really knotted hair, which won't comb out. And the only thing that I can do is cut them off. Them off and make them, so they're bald.
Yeah.
We tried switching up our food. Very healthy. Two cats. They're both very
okay. Can, hey, Jim, connection is terrible, but yeah. I think we get the point. You got a 6-year-old cat, developed knotted hair, sort of dreadlocks, like a Rastafarian thing. doctors.
I'll take my answer off the
Okay,
great.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
My one thought would be, how heavy is this kitty? Mm-hmm. My typical concern would be that she may not be able to reach in that back end area if she has gained some weight.
Okay.
And the second was the diet and the food. I would switch her to that all canned diet, all moisture. I definitely see a lot of cats that once we have shifted them over, they never mat again.
Really?
It is
really?
Amazing. Wow. The numbers that come through our clinic, and we do a whole body shave on them because they're all matted out. I suggest go into a canned food. We never see them back for another whole body shave because
a whole body shave on a cat?
Diet.
That sounds appalling and terrible.
Oh, no,
come on.
They love it.
They love it?
They do.
About fish oils? Would that
helps. I can't always get them to eat the fish oils.
Yeah,
they
right.
don't always like the taste of it. It's a little tough. But just switching them, a matter of switching from dry to canned. I know we had a question up there about switching dry to canned.
Yeah.
But please do it. It is the best you can do for your cat.
All right, let's take a break here. Dr. Susan Seculli is here. Dr. Chris Dallas is Pets and Vets. And wow, it's a fast-moving program. The home stretch is straight ahead.
Support for WAMT comes from Jane Iredale, a mineral makeup company specializing in makeup that is good for the skin. Jane Iredale retail shop at Louisa Ellis Boutique, Great Barrington. JaneIredale.com. Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenAndPerrin.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 32 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.org. Penny Farthing Investment Management, Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies. BrightPenny.org. And Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, supplying the greater capital region with custom display solutions, commercial casework, and interactive exhibits for trade shows, special events, and museum exhibitions. EmpireExhibits.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Pets and Vets. Susan Seculli, Chris Dallas here in heated discussion here during the break. It's very exciting. A couple of quick emails and then back to the phones we will go. This one's from Andy. My pooch is a dachshund mix. He vigorously shakes his head 3 or 4 times a day. His ears are clean and don't smell. Why is he shaking his head so hard? Andy, it's because he disagrees with you. No, what's the answer?
Maybe there's a big ball of wax in there. I've seen that before where... their ears look clean. You look inside, and there's a big chunk of wax on one of their eardrums.
And then I would say food allergies, because I always, food and ears go hand in hand for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Or pain, dental pain is another option.
Yep.
And it happens 3 or 4 times a day, but not, I mean, if it was pain, it would be more often, right?
We never know.
We never know.
Yeah.
this one is from Maisie in Chesterfield, Mass. Wondering if wheat germ is okay to sprinkle on my dog's food. I've read that it has a lot of vitamin B, and vitamin B is very good for helping dogs handle stress. We have 3 dogs, all of all ages. One is almost One is almost two. One is 5 years old, and one is 10 years old. Oh, one is almost two.
Okay.
Spelled in, you got to put a W in there. One is almost two, one is 5, and one is 10. So vitamin B, wheat germ, yay, nay?
I don't know.
I'm not sure that wheat germ would be the best option. I'm wondering about nutritional yeast. You're not going to hurt your dogs at all using wheat germ. I'm just not sure if it's going to be the most effective approach for...
Supplement.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this one came in from our old buddy and intern here, Blaze, who says, what are the realities of fleas and ticks this time of year with the colder weather? Blaze and his dog, Flash.
That'll follow up what I had just said. I have a number of clients that'll come in and think, it's wintertime. There's no fleas. And we comb them through, and there are, because they live in the house.
Yeah.
So somebody has brought them in. They don't think to look for them this time of the year, and they They have
okay, so
ticks less so,
so
right
happen.
Now. Ticks less so.
Well, that cold snap, at least for a little while.
Yeah, but I don't know about Friday. I mean, it's going to be 53, and I don't know if they come out in a short-term experience.
I'm told that they'll be back.
they'll be back.
Yeah. Hopefully the snow will keep them down for a few days anyway while we have it. Let's go to line four and Jonathan in Sheffield. Jonathan, you're on.
Oh, hi. It's a great show so far, and I'm happy to be part of it. I am about to move from Western Mass to South Carolina, and I have a 10-year-old cat and a 15-year-old cat who are used to, because they've been, over the last 6 months, they've been boarded a lot. So, and they have to make about a 40-minute or half an hour trip in the car each time I drop them off. And that's happened, 10 times in the last year or more. So they're used to being in the car. But I just wanted to know any tips for the travel, and then also they're going to be integrated with a 8-year-old dog, and they've had each other's smells before.
No good.
I transported some items that had the smell of the other one each place. So anyhow, that's it.
So FedEx is out of the question, right?
Yeah, I think so. This time of the year especially.
We don't want to mail them.
Not so good.
Okay.
Right.
No, mailing? No,
yeah.
No.
All right, fair enough.
I got you covered on that. I jumped in
that.
For you.
This is why we have experts on the show.
That's right.
Continue, doctors.
Kudos to you for moving this time of the year down there.
Right,
just saying.
Smart.
It sounds like you're already giving them some nice opportunity to travel little trips. My one suggestion is obviously don't feed them a whole lot prior to the move. It just depends on the cat. Some of them do better in a little carrier that they can just curl up and just deal with the travel. Other ones like to get out and about as long as you put a harness on them with a little leash. We have started using it. I mentioned it to Dr. Dow as gabapentin. It's a human medication, and it just sort of chills them.
I've myself taken it. So.
Okay.
At one point, many years ago.
Okay.
So what does that do? Just mellows you out?
It relaxes. I'm not being an MD. I'm not sure what the use is on the human
side.
I think it's for back. There you go.
But I'm not gonna. I don't remember. I don't care to go into it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
We find in cats it has been a very good choice for these traveling, chilling kind of things.
Yeah. I will say it's a neuroleptic. That's the class of drug. Neuroleptic.
Perfect.
So that would be an option.
Yeah. And then as far as integrating with the dog, I think you're doing the right thing. They go by smell so much. So let the cats walk around the place where the dog has been and let the dog walk around where the cat has been and keep them separate.
I'm going to keep them completely separate and let them smell each other for quite a while and then open the door so they can see each other and smell each other but can't get at each other and very slowly.
You've got it.
Okay.
You'll do
all
great.
Right, Jonathan,
good luck with the move, man.
I hope you listen online, WAMC.org, where you can also make a pledge for the fund drive, which is coming up. Go to WAMC.org, you make a pledge, you listen to the show, it all works out. Sometimes it doesn't work out for dogs and cats integrating, though, right? Or even cats and cats. They just won't get...
That is true.
You just be that is some true. That don't get along.
That's right.
It can happen.
And does that happen when they're older?
Not necessarily. I think it comes down to personalities and chemistry and how quickly people push it. Everybody wants it to happen faster than it can usually. Dogs take, days to weeks to get used to each other. Cats can take months to years.
Isn't that the truth? Let's go to Mark in Pleasant Valley. Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As always. I have an 11-year-old beagle-ish. I could say beagle-ish because we don't know who his father was. But he looks like a beagle, and he's a great dog. But when he gets excited, and he causes his own excitement often, he coughs.
Oh, boy.
And I wonder what that's all about.
All right, he's not a smoker, right?
He's not a smoker, no. He's very clever, and he likes to trick you, but...
Okay.
That could be one of two things.
It cuts into his fun, He's running around, and then he starts to cough, and the game's over.
Is it a goose honk kind of sound?
A what?
A goose honk?
No, not really.
No.
Just a
like a smoker, basically.
Well done.
So,
and he's been doing it his whole life. We've had him since he was like a month old. And
does he snore at
night? He does that.
Does he snore at night? Is he a snorer? Loud snorer?
No, he's not a snorer at all.
Well, I'm thinking of one of two things. One would be a collapsing trachea, which is when the cartilage of the trachea is too soft. And we generally do see those signs when dogs get excited and run around, or if you put a leash on them and the collar pushes on their throat, that can also set off some coughing. That tends to be more of like a kind of a goose honk. And then the other thing I was thinking about is what we loosely call a reverse sneeze. And that is when the soft palate gets trapped below the epiglottis, if you can imagine that.
Yikes.
And it looks horrible. And they kind of clench their jaw and they tend not to move around a lot when it's happening because they're trying to work it out. My dog gets this a lot. He's a beagle mix and that affects him really under the same circumstances, when he gets excited and when the collar pushes on his throat.
Is there anything you could do about that?
Someone has told me, who knows beagles, that this is characteristic of beagles. Hmm. Is that possible?
You know, I think of collapsing tracheas in smaller breed dogs and a lot of the dogs with, you know, the shortened noses and the small airways, you know, Boston Terriers and Pekingese and what have you. But, you know, this is my first beagle, so I can only comment on him. But I can't say I see it in beagles more than anybody, you know, the other smaller breeds.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it, clearly, the dog is 11 years old. It's in good health, right?
Yeah, he's been doing it since he was a puppy.
Right.
Actually.
Can trachea
be collapsing his entire life?
It's possible. I mean, if he just had really soft cartilage, and we don't really, if it's not progressing, then we don't worry about it. And some dogs, it actually can be a major problem for them, and they actually have to have surgery for it.
But there is surgery that is available if you have a collapsing trachea.
Yeah, it's a pretty specialized surgery. This is not something that GPs do.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for the call, and good luck. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Phyllis in Albany has been waiting a long time. Phyllis, you're on.
Oh, my pleasure. It's just a pleasure to listen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm on my third Havanese. We were talking about temperament before. These dogs have the most wonderful temperament.
They do.
I mean, they're so agreeable and so, they're just charming, and I adore the breed. At any rate, my new puppy, who's 4 months old, who goes with the 11-year-old and the 9-year-old big brothers, who adore her. They don't want to let her out of their sight. But the little girl is bringing in pine cones from the yard, from all the pine trees that are around. Are they safe for her?
To chew on?
Eating pine cones.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
I don't know of any toxicity with pine cones. Huh. Although there's so many different types of pine trees, it might depend on what type of tree you have. Do you know what type of trees you have?
Of course not.
Have you ever heard of this before?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dogs eating pine cones.
Again, puppies. Yeah. You know, they
I normally take things away from her that she shouldn't have, but she's been bringing in the pine cones, and I just wondered if I could just let her go or not.
Hmm.
I do not feel like I can answer that with any kind of confidence.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the other thing, if I may, you mentioned nutritional yeast before. And I happen to have a jar of it here, and I wondered if that would be something to add to her food.
A lot of my clients use it. I don't really have strong feelings about it. I subscribe to the idea that if you're giving them a good, fresh diet, they don't need a lot of supplementation.
But could it hurt?
Yeah, well, I do too, but I happen to have the nutritional yeast here.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on my popcorn, so I'll get
popcorn. There you go. Good on popcorn.
Well, I guess it wouldn't hurt. All right. Well, Phyllis,
yes,
thank you
very much.
Let us know about the pine cone thing on the next show, okay? Maybe find out.
Me or you?
Yeah, you let us know and find out what kind of tree you have, and then maybe we'll have a better answer for you.
Well, I think if they're pine cones, I don't know. I'll just take them away.
Well, all right.
He has plenty of other toys.
Milky.
All right.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Okay, Mike in Albany, you're next. Mike.
Thank you to all of you and NPR. Wonderful service. And to your two doctors, thank you.
Okay.
I have a 3.5-year-old rescue cat, female, domestic, and she's a wonderful personality, but we can't get her to eat canned cat food at all now. I got various opinions from other vets even who said it's not necessary for them to have the canned food at all, but I understand there's a chemical in canned food, terium or something like that, and that they have to have it. So
okay.
We sprinkled other things on this pet food, various brands, natural or the synthetic stuff. Some people call it junk food. But in any case, we can't get this cat to eat any of the canned cat food. She'll eat greenies. She'll eat Temptations. She'll eat her dry food. But yeah. She just waste
okay.
the canned food.
Right.
So I can tell you from personal experience, my cat is now 8 years old. This is Dr. Sakui speaking. And I had him on just dry food for his first 5 years of his life, I have to admit. And he would bury the canned food that I would put out for him. Like, get this out of here. So it took me a month or a month and a half. You have to be very persevering, and you just gradually decrease the dry. And the first thing in the morning, you offer only the canned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you will get there. It will take a lot of willpower on your part because cats are very good.
Yes.
And
they'll play on your heartstrings. Yes, they will.
They will train you.
Yep.
You can do it.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go over to Pat in Wilton. Pat, you're on.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 4-year-old black short hair. He's probably part Siamese, too. When I got him, he was 12 months old. I'm sorry, 12 weeks old.
Oh boy, you're in a bad spot there, Pat. If you're on a cell phone, just give it another try here. We got 4 weeks old, and that was it. Try it again.
Hello. Any better?
Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I got a 12-week-old black short hair kitty about 4 years ago. When I took him to the vet, he said that he thought he heard a minor heart murmur. Nothing really to worry about. It would probably go away. The next year, I took him back. It was louder, and he suggested that I take him to a specialist, which I did. And apparently, he has a significant heart murmur. I think they said it was rated between a 4 and 5. That was 2 years ago.
Okay.
He's on a couple of medications. One's a blood thinner, and the other one, I think, regulates his heartbeat. I think it's clopidogrel and benazepine. And I don't know how long I'm going to have him, but once he's gone, I will get other cats. Is there any way to figure out whether a cat is going to have a heart murmur or not?
Okay.
Wow. I have to say the newer medications that the cardiologists are now putting the cats on for heart conditions have been very helpful. I see many cats now progressing and living very good lives with the medication. We used to say years ago that there was not much to do, be able to help them. Now that's not the case.
Great.
So it's nice to see. As far as knowing in the future and predicting for your next cat, other than listening to the heart, there's really not, no other thing that you could, if you were to get a specific breed like a Maine Coon
yeah.
which are known again for their heart conditions, cardiomyopathies, then there are specific tests that both the parents would have done prior to you getting the kid.
So that is a genetically passed on trait.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for the call. And quickly, we only have about a minute here.
Wow.
But Megan in Voorheesville has been waiting. Megan, you have a minute.
Okay, I'll be quick.
Okay.
I'm so glad to talk to you guys. We use essential oils every day, and I definitely look to the holistic approach. I have a 4-year-old black lab mix girl dog, and when she was younger, she was leaking urine just a little bit here and there. We'd find it on her bed, on the floor. So I brought her to the vet. They were going to put her on this hormone medicine that was just horrendous. Like, I didn't want this medicine in my house. It was given to women in the 50s, and it's just not a safe drug. I have little kids. So I didn't put her on the drug. I just said I'd keep on monitoring it. And then actually after that, it went away. No more leaking for about a year and a half. And now it's just returned, and I've noticed that she's just been drinking a ton of water, okay. And the leaking is back. I took her to the vet. They checked her blood work. There was nothing wrong with her kidneys or, you know, liver. Her blood work looked great.
All right, so we only have about 15 seconds, so let's see if the doctors can quickly give you an answer here.
Did they run a urinalysis?
They did, yes.
And there was no signs of a urinary tract infection?
No, there was none.
Okay, then I guess I would say, you know, I would consider a holistic approach for something like this if you don't, you know, want to put her on drugs. That's the music.
That's it.
Acupuncture.
All right, Megan, thanks a lot. Sorry we ran out of time here, and I want to thank Dr. Chris Dallas. Chris, how do we find out more about your work?
My website is www.ancientartsveterinary.com.
You sounded tentative.
I changed the name, yeah.
Okay,
to think about which one's current.
And Dr. Cicoulli.
Jess Katz, Veterinary Clinic.
All right, well, great having you both here. Happy New Year to
you
both.
Thank you. Always fun.
Support comes from Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement. A proud supporter of public radio, forthillautobody.com. Schenectady Symphony Orchestra announcing the adventures of Boof Margarine, an homage to silent film comedies, featuring Symphony No. 1 and No. 2 this Sunday at 3 p.m. at Proctor's Theater, schenectadysymphony.org for information. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953, now accepting appointments for patients with flexible health spending accounts, sheehyopticians.com. And the Discovery Center at Albany Pine Bush Preserve presenting January programs featuring owls, winter pre-K programs, and nature journaling for adults, albanypinebush.org. Thanks again to Dr. Cicoulli and Dr. Dallas. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your calls were answered by Carol Lapani, our producer Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, astronomer Bob Berman is here. Stand by for news.